From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chad Beter.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show about Windows internals and Microsoft internals.
Yes. Yes.
I'm in the zone.
You're in the zone this week.
After
you
last
got
week.
It down. You're back.
Yeah.
On, back on track. And we've even got some train, the train station here. Yep. Up on the back. I think this is in France or something.
Yeah, I was saying to you before we aired that it looks a lot like Flinders Street Station in Melbourne, where I come from, which I took the train to work for 20 years, so kind of used to it. But it's not. It's actually, I think it's circa the same era, because it's got a lot of the same type of
we'll look at the
ironwork.
Oh, there we go.
Ironwork.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's a beautiful station.
Yeah, beautiful.
Definitely.
So we're back.
Episode 160.
160, which in hex is... We looked this up because we're so bad, neither of us could do it in our heads. A0.
Yes.
A0. Oh my gosh. Wow. We're going back to like the
happy
70s.
Days.
That dates us.
Yeah.
Anyway. But it's a fun week here. My son's on spring break, so he's in the studio running the controls in there.
It's more of an internship thing, really.
Yeah, it's an internship. Well, he spends all day, if you let him. He would spend all day watching like Minecraft videos on YouTube. I don't know if like other people that have kids or viewers, like this is the thing now. Like rather than even playing Minecraft, it's more fun to just go on YouTube and watch people play Minecraft, evidently. Yeah. It's like a spectator sport.
Yeah, my daughters well and truly are into that. Yeah. And I should know the name of the show they watch because they tell me every single time, but it's Kate and something.
So he thinks it's really cool. He's an aspiring YouTuber now. He wants to do this. So we brought him in here. He's going to run the show here.
We'll learn the editing.
Yeah,
tricks.
learn how to run a TriCaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. So what do we got this week? We're going to talk about some network stuff, Ping stuff.
Ping, like not the TV show.
Ping.
Not the...
Oh, right. We have a show called Ping.
Well, we
used to.
It retired.
It retired. That's right.
Emerged into Channel 9 this week on Channel 9.
Right. So, well, I don't know. Let's kind of dive in. So we have just the plain vanilla inbox Ping tool, right?
You should explain
which is
the whole point of it, right?
The point, for people who don't know, is that you just send a little packet. There's actually ICMP is the protocol typically that Ping uses. And you just, ping something. The thing that is kind of a problem, though, is a lot of servers on the internet don't respond to that port, that ICMP port. So if I say I just pick Dell.com.
Yeah, so traditionally, like Dell.com or www.dell.com would have obviously port 80 open for HTTP.
We obviously know that site is up, but we're not getting any responses from it. And so... Mark Rusinovich wrote that a tool, PS Ping.
Yeah. So if you did something that was up, I think maybe MSN.com will respond to ICMP.
Does that one work?
Try www.
Still not working. See, a lot of them don't. Okay, that one works.
So
there you go. 3 milliseconds, pretty quick time.
We were talking about this before. We were playing around with some websites, and some of the times just didn't look right.
Yeah.
And we have a theory that we actually are getting a cached
we're
proxy
hitting
type
probably
thing.
A proxy server or
something,
something
like that.
Maybe.
Not actually the real thing, but
yeah.
So the whole point is to look at can I reach the server from a networking point of view, and this is where we can digress into ipconfig and route print, but probably not today, maybe next week. Just pure TCP/IP fundamentals of IP4, IP6, routing tables, stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can set all those, for example, dash 6 if you want to do a
4 and 6.
IPv6.
Yeah. So the whole point is, can I reach that thing through ICMP? Well, reaching it through ICMP, as we said, is not a guaranteed way of working out whether a server is up or not. Now, it's great when you dialed into work and you decide to reboot your server or some production server.
Yeah.
And then, particularly in Ping, you tend to go Ping, the machine name, and then minus T. And minus T is perpetual. So I think it's 5 or 4, it just keeps on going and going. That way you can watch it go down, it disappears for a while, and then when it finally bounces and comes up and you've waited 10 minutes to get through SCSI configuration on a server. You finally go, hey, it's on its way up, and then you bother to try to, you know, remote desktop into it.
Right, so you use like the dash T for that to sort of do a continual ping, and you just watch it.
But as we were saying, ICMP is regularly blocked because it's a waste of bandwidth, and it's a port that has no real point being open, so it's a security vulnerability, but it's another attack vector, so you might as well close it.
Best practices on the internet is don't have ports open that you don't need.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so, so Mark wrote a tool to get around some of the limitations, and also he wrote it for particularly Azure-based requirements, but we'll get to that in a sec. But do you want to jump across to PSPing and show how we can change this?
So if I go PSPing, let's say Dell.com, which was not working, and again, I think it's not going to work, right?
Yeah.
Timing out the same way.
So all of the command line tools that are very basic have this PS prefix, which I think is Powers tools or Power scripts or something, or Powers disinternal tools. So there's like PS kill, PS task, PS user, we have all these other ones. So PS, that's why it's got the PS on the front. It's part of the PS toolset. Yeah. And if you download it, rather than downloading the entire suite from sysinternals.com, which is sysinternals.zip, which is everything, you would actually get psutils.zip. Because they're so tiny, they don't bother shipping individual ones. They've got the 10 or 20 PS ones in one zip file.
Right.
So we did it through ICMP, which we know it doesn't really prove anything.
This is pretty much the same as the
Windows. We still can't prove that it's actually up or anything.
Right. So, but we can do like a different port with PSPing, which we cannot do with the inbox tool.
Yeah.
So say we PSPing. Now we know that the default HTTP port is 80, so that should work, right? And sure enough, there we go.
6-point-ish milliseconds, not bad.
Right.
You get the IP address and everything else.
Oh,
we can, let's try, out of interest, put a -6 on the front to see if it has an IPv6 routable way of doing it.
Oh,
-4 is obviously we were using CCIP v4 rather than v6 before, and that's why it worked.
And that still works.
So yeah, you can twiggle, you can twist between that. So if you do something more local, like my box right here, try PSPing -6, A Richard X1, which is just my
dash.
No, just X1.
Yeah. Just like that.
Yep. And so in theory, there you go.
There you go. And we're getting IPv6 addresses there.
And we're roughly not too far away from each other. So we're going to some Wi-Fi point and then coming back here.
Yeah.
So, and we can change that to -4 to see the other way, so.
Which is, I think, the default, but.
Yeah. And then I don't think this guy's got a web server on it, so if you try to put a port 80 on it, it'll fail.
Oh.
No, it does have a web server on it. There you go.
There you go. You're running something.
I am running something. But this is a good way of discovering port availability, right? Just from a very simplistic point of view. So you could do the SQL Server port. You could do 443 for HTTPS, FTP, all those other things.
Right. Find out if the port's even open.
Yeah, just if it's connectable. All PSPing does in this scenario is it connects. That's it. It's recording the time from the connection request to the connection response saying, hey, I've ACK'd the connection, and then that's the timing, and then it drops the socket. So like in a web case, the web server's waiting for that GET text to be uploaded, which has just never arrived.
Yeah.
And by the time it wants to read that, PSPing's dropped the port.
Right.
So should we do some additional things? So that's kind of simple and just easy to know that, a great way to know if a port is open or not and routable. Mm-hmm. Actually, I used this at home the other day. I was able to, I have a double NAT. So I was in 192.168.2 in the private intranet, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And then I have 192.168.1 behind it. And then I have the internet.
Right. You get your...
So I could ping the gateway 192.168.20.1 or 2.1, whatever it was. And I could ping the next one down, 1.1, but I couldn't see the rest of the internet. And because after that point you go, oh, I'm not quite sure if ICMP is blocked by Comcast and blah, 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 I changed to port 80. Mm-hmm. And to my great surprise, even though I could ICMP to the inner one and the outer one, I actually couldn't connect to port 80 on either of the two.
Hmm.
And it came down to a device driver issue and a cabling issue. And the firmware on the Comcast modem had partially reset. Because I'd had a lot of blackouts. And so half my configuration had changed and half of it was still real.
Interesting.
So all the routing tables were wrong and everything else. So, it seemed that ICMP was able to get through the routing tables better, but which is UDP, it's broadcast, rather than TCP, which was non-routable because the AX couldn't come back. So I can go one way. Yeah. But I couldn't go the other, and so,
So you, reboot your router and it fixed it?
I had to then physically connect to the router directly, reconfigure it, then connect to the other one physically, reconfigure it, and then get all that right. But the point is, it does get used. I used it last week. Took me 3 hours to work this hellhole out. But, the thing is, the Wi-Fi was still configured correct, but the LAN wasn't working.
Right.
And it's like, so you go, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I would try logging onto it. When I finally got to it, I tried logging onto it, and my password didn't work. And so then I'm going, this is not good, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized that it's got a partial factory reset, and it's actually gone back to the factory reset password. And it was 3 hours of hell.
Fun times.
Troubleshooting madness is what I call
yes,
it.
But
anyway,
yes,
the point is I used ICMP for a reason, and I used 80 for a reason, and I was able to use that to deduce where in the network there was problems. Mm-hmm. And then I physically attached to that device to troubleshoot it. So
That's cool.
Mark's usage was completely different. He actually designed this for Azure reasons. He wanted to know how fast the Azure data centers were within themselves and linkage between the data centers.
Okay.
Right. And actually they use this to this day, I believe, to track the performance of everything.
On the network. Yeah.
And so let's do that. So let's do an example where we're going to do, there's two types of tests. There's latency, which we've kind of done this way.
Yeah.
And bandwidth. So latency is what we've seen. You say it's 5 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. But what was our throughput? Were we only getting 1K per second between our two Wi-Fis? Wi-Fi to an access point, assuming it may be the same access point, and then coming back to each other.
Right.
Or we may have actually been going to two different access points because Microsoft has so many access points, it's not funny.
Right.
And we might have gone through some networking. But let's find out what the deal was. So ELSA defaults, which is what we'll kind of do.
Yeah.
And so that's established. What Mark does is he establishes this client-server relationship. So I'm going to make mine the server.
Okay.
The command line for server, and let's limit this to IPv4 because it's a bit more easy to read. Mm. So I'm going to go PS ping, and you can't see my screen. PS ping -4 to force IPv4. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add -F. -F is firewall, which says open up the port. So I'm not quite sure whether the port I'm going to use is open right now or not. So rather than fighting with it, just temporarily open it up.
Be safe.
-F, firewall. And then I'm going to act as a server, so you're going to talk to me.
Right, so you're going to do this.
-S.
Essentially, you're doing this top command.
Nearly every single command. Now, source is the resolution that you want to use. So if I did 127.0.0.1 or localhost, then it's only going to be routable to that address. And so what I want to use actually is my computer name, because the computer name will resolve to the public IP address on my box rather than the local host. And so I would go my machine name, which is ARichardX1, and then colon, then we can choose a port. Now, I know that inside Microsoft, there is strict firewall rules on all the gateways and stuff, so you don't want to be using certain ports, but there is a reserve range that is 50,000 to something, 51,000 or something that they publicly say inside Microsoft they're going to be open on routing between people.
Right.
So I'm going to use 50,000. So it's going to be PS ping -4 or -4.
Well, either way.
Isn't dash this that way? Oh, that's a slash.
Technically, it's a hyphen.
Hyphen.
If we want to get pedantic about it.
We should.
Okay.
Hyphen 4.
Hyphen.
Hyphen F. Yes. Hyphen S for server. And then my machine name, ARichardX1, :50,000. So there's nothing much to see. It just says waiting. That's
okay,
all it says
so yours screen. Is just sitting there waiting. So then I could try to run the bandwidth test to it. Yeah. And hopefully I get this command line right. So I'm going to do, PS ping.
We'll do
PS ping.
-4.
-4. And I'm going to do the bandwidth test, right?
B.
-B.
I'm going to scroll up a bit.
Hyphen B.
No, scroll up a bit. Scroll the screen up a bit so we can see it. There we go.
Oh, is it not on the screen?
Oh, it's a bit low, that's all.
Oh, okay. All right. And then we're going to do, let's see, a -L.
Open the firewall just in case. MySF.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah.
It should be open.
Well, it's an outgoing port, but yeah, okay, just for safeties. And then -L is to specify the request size.
It's way on the right here.
Which is, so I'm going to do...
what are you going to do, 10 meg?
10 meg? Sure.
1 meg.
Let's do 1 meg.
One M.
And then I'm going to do, let's see.
How many should you do?
Oh, right, how many? So
minus
number
N.
N, minus N.
10.
20.
10.
Sure.
And then, destination.
And then
destination
port. So
A Richard
A
X1.
Richard X1 on 50,000.
All right.
Let's see if this works.
It's working. And I've got, roughly the percentage you're seeing there, I'm seeing on the server the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the statistics that you see there also got spewed out of mine as well. And
now, it's interesting, it did, even though I specified 10 iterations, it did 18 because it adds like 8 warm-up iterations by default. You can see there's a dash W switch here. The default is 2 times the number of CPU cores, so I must have 4 cores.
I wonder how that's based on. Maybe it's something to do with, what's it called, the TCP offload thing, where they give packets per core. Maybe something to do with that.
Yeah,
Mark obviously worked out some reason.
Some good reason we'd have to ask him.
I'm sure it's well thought out, quite frankly.
Yes.
So we did a test.
And it tells me the bandwidth here. So that's interesting. So instead of just getting like the normal ping, you get the latency, how many milliseconds away it is from me to you and back. Now we see, okay, how much
throughput
do I have? So that's not too bad. Average 8 megabytes per second, which I'm over some Wi-Fi here.
8 times 8 to get to megabit rather than megabytes.
Yeah,
so that'd be
usually
64 megabit.
I usually multiply by 10 because there's a little overhead or something, but yeah.
So
64, like 80-ish.
Yeah, because about, I think I got told this,
and
I don't know if it's a myth. If Mythbusters were still around, we could ask them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's true or not, but I was told that on the best, cleanest Ethernet connection, 72% is data. And the other 28% is overhead from ACKs, headers, and the IP protocol itself, or the TCP protocol as well.
Yeah.
So you can only get 70. So if you have a 100 megabit link, take that down to 72%, 72. Mm-hmm. 72 divided by 8 means you only can get 9 megabytes per second
over
on a 100 megabit link.
Sounds
good. And so I think these are, this is G, I think?
I think this is a wireless G or N, I'm not sure.
But anyway, we've got roughly 100 megabit, when you look at the overhead and everything else, we were close to 100 megabit, which doesn't surprise me. I know the NIC is 100 megabit, but we're on Wi-Fi, so there wouldn't surprise me if there's some type of similar limitation in the hardware. So close to saturation, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So if we did this to, say, a longer distance, obviously the latency is going to reduce the ability to get throughput because of the TCP receive window, which we won't go into today.
Hmm.
And then obviously then just the cabling. So sure, around here we're going to get fast, try to go across some internet, get a slow segment, and then it goes bad.
Yeah, should we look at this histogram?
Yeah,
as well?
So I was going to say.
Dash H. Which I think I can just put anywhere, maybe?
We'll soon find out.
I think I can just put it here. Let's look at that. And
Mark!
Oh, we crashed it. I guess I can't just put the dash H anywhere, huh? Should we try that one more time?
You didn't have procdump installed,
did you? I don't. I thought I did, actually. I'm surprised it procdump didn't load.
And not there, that's in the middle of the L.
Oops, yeah,
that's not the right place for it.
Let's try it here. Looks like if we can repro that, then we'll have to send a dump here.
Oh, it crashed
again.
Oh, you got to bring up an administration command prompt.
I'm in one. Proc dump.
Minus MA.
Minus
MA.
MA.
And then minus I for install.
Yeah.
And then have you got a dumping folder somewhere?
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, I should have done accept EULA.
That's right.
All right.
It doesn't
matter. Let's try it.
And you'll
notice
that when it writes the registry key, it's actually put the accept EULA on it. So that way, if it runs in like the system process, they've got they've got the rights to run. Otherwise, on the system console, you're going to have a pop-up.
Let's run it one more time. See if it crashes again.
Let's see. Are we going to debug it?
Oh, wow. It did crash again, but we got a dump, proc dump open there.
Go and just have a look at it.
All right.
And that's off topic, but you know.
Yeah, but anyway, before we do that, you get the histogram here. And the cool thing here is you can kind of see like how many, it's probably more interesting if you do more than 10, right? If you're doing this over a very long period of time, because then you can get a view of your, not only your average bandwidth, but like, you know, how.
So I'm not sure how he spits up the numbers, but the majority of the packets came in at 5.1 megabit.
It puts it in buckets. You can specify how many buckets you want to.
Yeah.
The default is.
So obviously he's got a range from X to Y and divided it by 12 or whatever it is, and then or 15, and then he's got some weird numbers because of that math, and that's where we are.
Yep.
But cool. So let's have a look at that file.
All right. Because it's, let's see, it's going to be, I should just change it. Hopefully I have.
Have you got it associated?
Let's see. Look at that. I do.
So what is it? So straight away, this is debugging 101.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle, it says access violation code C0005. So we know it's a, reading bad memory.
Yep.
And then the stored exception, one line above it, the stored exception information can be accessed via ECXR. So type ECXR, because you can see how we're at this wait for multiple objects. That's actually Windows error reporting waiting for proc dump to finish.
I'm going to make the font a little bigger here.
And then, maybe that's good. And so you can see that we're at this compare of Combase. And actually, I know what this is. This is a known. Is this a redstone?
No, this is TH2. This is
Do OK. So this is PSPing, and then it's actually doing some COM object shutdown, and then it's crashed. I have seen this bug.
Of course you have.
Do a .exr -1, exception record, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried to read from that address in that function.
We've tried to read from this address. Yeah.
So the parameter 0, the line above that 489,
means it's
0 is read, 1 is write, mm-hmm. and really 8, which is nowhere near those numbers, is execute.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to read from there, and then if you do an R command, you'll see the exact line of assembler. So we try to read from ECX,
mm-hmm. which is this value.
And put it into EBX plus 4.
Which, so that's fine, we're just reading a register, but then the problem is we're trying to store this data.
Store.
We're storing this value into this plus 4, which is how you got this.
Oh, dereferenced of plus 4.
Yes, so you're four, yeah. So that's where you get this address.
Yeah.
So this is some known bug
in
OS.
They're not Mark.
Oh, so
Mark escapes.
Mark, you're safe this time. I need to be running a newer build of Windows or something, but yes.
I'll follow up on that.
Yes, well, we have the expert here. Now that we've embarrassed ourselves on channel 9 here, we can go make sure that bug gets fixed.
Yeah. Anyway, so PSPing, kind of replacement for ping. Once you've kind of used it, you tend to use it forever. It's like Process Explorer kind of replaces Task Manager. Just put it in your arsenal of tools. You'd be amazed how often you pull it out. It's more common than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting uses for it. If you want to just continuously ping something and like aggregate the bandwidth or the latency over a long period of time, get the histogram.
Yeah.
So.
And there's lots of tools which we can go through at one time, is listing all the connections you have, like NetStat, MySA, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, is this, what's the latency? Say I'm gaming, right? And what's my latency to to the server? You can use this tool to work it out. So
very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So as always, thank you, Damien, for all the VS switching out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my son's out there running the show.
Yep. As always, put your comments below and send us questions at defragtools@microsoft.com. We're open for suggestions for future episodes. And we will see you next week.